And most of the commentators feel like the elect lady was a lady in the church who opened her home up so they could worship there. Well, what was happening? And I'm going to throw this out here, and then I'm going to take it out, and I'm going to set it on the table, and I'm going to bring it back. What was happening is this lady in the church was being swamped by false teachers. They were known as Gnostics, and we'll see that in a moment. And she was opening the doors to the church to them, allowing them to come in, and then John was finding out that they were making a mess of things. Okay, I'm going to stop there because I'm going to bring that in later. I'm going to take that and I'm going to set it on a table over here and I'm going to go back and get it, okay? So what we have here is John is approaching this lady, this church, and saying there comes a point in time when you have to stop showing love. Now you're going to say, whoa, wait a second. And I'm going to get you to that in a minute. But it's important to understand this. Love is good. Real good. But truth should never be compromised for the sake of love. Truth is good. It's real good. But truth, or love, is real good. But truth should never be compromised for the sake of love. You see, mutual affection flows out of each one of our lives. We should be that way anyway. And we share communion together because we're Christ followers. But 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 is very clear. It says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. It lays down the law, so to speak, of saying, if you are a follower of Christ, you will believe this. However, John says, if you don't believe that, then you're not a follower of Christ. And so our communion breaks down. And those who reject that reject the truth of the gospel. Now, if we allow, please go back to that boundary with the riverbank. If we allow this bank of truth to crumble, then we're in trouble. Because as we allow the bank of truth to crumble, the dams crumble. The levees crumble, and what happens? You have all kinds of chaos. You have all kinds of stuff growing up, throwing out there. Here, believe this, believe that, believe this, believe that. If you allow the truth to crumble. You see, it's important that we understand that salvation requires belief. Salvation requires belief in truth. And so it is critically important for the church to proclaim the right message. Sometimes we don't know how to handle that. And I want to say this. When I say that we need to stand for the truth, I do not mean being mean to people. I do not mean being nasty to people. I do not mean shaking a fist at them and saying, you're going to hell. I don't mean shaking a finger and wagging your finger at them and saying, you are nasty people. Case in point was this past weekend in our community. I don't agree with the festival. I don't agree with the lifestyle. But I don't hate them. I pray for their salvation. Because they need Jesus. Guess what? So do I. I don't have to shake a fist at them. I don't have to point a finger at them. I don't have to hate them. But I also don't have to compromise the truth. I can still love. And that's what I would encourage you to do, is that we continue to love. There comes a point where we say enough is enough. You know, and we say, okay, you know, I love you, I care about you, but I can't approve of it. But you can still do that with love. You don't have to hate. You don't have to be mean. And that leads me to the next one. Truth controls our walk. I know some of you are saying, but wait a minute, Bill. Didn't Jesus tell us to love one another? I mean, didn't John even say that we're supposed to love one another? Yeah, he did. John 13, verse 34 and 35. He tells us that we are to love one another. But love isn't blind. Love is not blind. If someone says that they love you, and they put a condition on that love, it's not love. Very frankly, if a teenager says to another teenager, or an adult says to another, if you love me, you will. They don't love you, they lust you. You see, we are called on to love. But if someone says they love you and drags you away from your love with Jesus, that is not love. John said it this way, verse 6, and this is love. Well, verse 5, he says the beginning, the commandment from the beginning is that we love one another. He said, then this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as we have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. Truth controls our walk. You see, the test of love is whether it leads us closer to Christ or takes us away. That's the test of love. Does it lead you closer to Jesus or does it take you away? Because true love never compromises. And it never asks somebody else to compromise their standards. Nor does it ask anyone else to do that as well as themselves. Love or truth never consents to sin. And it never, ever embraces evil. Truth never embraces evil. It always stands like a beacon. It says, this is truth, these are the boundaries, and I will not accept that. Okay, so that's the limits of truth. What are the limits of love? And you're going to say, whoa, a second here. Time out. What do you mean there's a limit to love? Yes, there is. Watch this. John does it, not me. Just as a door has a hinge, the door also has a lock. In verses 7 through 9, John says, for many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one, here it is a deceiver and the Antichrist. And so he is telling us that he rips off this white fleece. You know how we talk about wolves in sheep's clothing? He rips off the white fleece. He reveals them for who they are, and they're nothing more than they are deceivers and the Antichrist. Watch yourself so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Okay, let's grab the table, or the thing that we put on the table, and let's bring it back. John was facing what was called Gnosticism. Okay, and you can see how it's spelled up there, Gnosticism. The heresy believed that all matter, the body, was evil, but the spirit was good. And so therefore, one of their teachings is that Jesus did not come as a human. He did not come in the flesh. He came as a spirit. Another branch had also taught that Jesus was human until his baptism. He became divine at his baptism, but before his crucifixion, he became human again. And we have people who still want to teach that today. There is a point where you have to say no. And John rejected that. He did it in 1 John. We saw that over and over. But listen to these words from John chapter 1, his gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him not anything was made that was made. But here it is, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 14 cannot be denied. You cannot say that Jesus is not God in the flesh, because John 1:14 says He is. The Word, Jesus, became what? Flesh. No matter what the Gnostics say, or no matter what people even today say, Jesus became God in the flesh. The world is full of deceivers. You have people who come to your door almost every day, and they want to teach you something that is outside the Bible. The sad part is many of the cults do use the Bible, but they use it out of context. They rip out part of it. They say part of it's not real, and then they add their own garbage to it. Sorry for that language, but anyway, they add it to the... This past week, Ryan and I had lunch together, and I told him one of the things I wanted to do after the series on grace is I want to do a series on We Believe and a series on our core values. And so we are working more on the core values because the beliefs are already there. If you were to go to our website, obcf.org, you would find what we believe there. I wanted to save a little bit of time because I'm not asking you to do that now, even though some of you could. I'd like you to look up on the screen. It's not in your bulletin. I did a synopsis of them and asked Joe to put them on the PowerPoint. We believe that God has eternally existed, that He is all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-present. We believe that He is sovereign over all. We believe He has manifested Himself in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Second, we believe that Jesus was born of a virgin and is the only divine Son of God. He is not one of many spirit children. We believe that Jesus was God in the flesh, John 1:14, and He is co-equal with God. He died on a cross for our sins. He rose again. He ascended into heaven, and He will return. Number three, we believe that the Holy Spirit is co-equal with the Father and the Son, and is present in the world to make men aware of their sin or of their need for salvation in Jesus Christ. Number four, we believe that the Bible is the divinely inspired written Word of God without error. That's called inerrancy. And then it's known, it's in original languages. Number five, we believe that man is by nature a sinner from birth, and as a result is in need of salvation. Salvation is a free gift bestowed by God's grace, which is unmerited favor, and is received by faith. And finally, we believe that Jesus ascended into heaven and will someday return for His children. Now that's a synopsis of what we believe. Those are our boundaries, folks. And if we or any other person preach anything other than that, Paul says, let them be anathema. So if someone stands in this pulpit and says anything other than that, you have a right to stone them. Well, not literally, but you have a right to say, I disagree with you. I want you to prove what you just said. You see, we have to have boundaries as a church. We could go deeper than all of that, but today is not the day. That'll be in September and October where we go deeper. But the truths are necessary to provide boundaries for us. Otherwise, we're going to let every Tom, Dick, and Harry come in and teach anything they want to do, and we'll go, yeah, let's jump on it. That actually makes us universalists then. I'm not willing to go that route. So let me close with two synopses or two applications. modified. Chuck Swindoll did a study called Postcards, and he had a number of these, and I modified them into two, and so I can't take credit for the main thought. Number one, love and truth can coexist. John Stott was a British preacher, died several years ago. He said, our love grows soft if it is not strengthened by truth, and our truth grows hard if not softened by love. They go together. You can have truth, but you can have love at the same time. And you can have love, but you can have truth at the same time as well. And finally, we need both discernment and discrimination. We need both, actually, because we don't want to slam a door in somebody's face just because we disagree with them. We don't want to punch them. We don't want to scream at them. We don't want to yell at them. We don't want to point fingers at them. But at the same time, we need to be courageous. We need to stand for the truth. We need to confront error when error is brought up to us. But it's difficult. But you can confront error with love. You don't have to scream. You don't have to yell. You don't have to jump down somebody's throat. All you have to do is say, you know, I appreciate what you're saying, but I believe I disagree with that. And here's why. You're not being belligerent. You're not being hateful. You're not being unkind, but you're standing for the truth. So there are limits with truth. There are limits with love. And we live our life with limits because we need boundaries. We need to know, as much as we complain as a society, we need to know what is right and what is wrong. We need to know what to believe and what not to believe. This book is our limit giver. This book gives us our boundaries. And all those we believes that I read to you, that you saw, they all came right from here. And so we stand for the truth, but we also stand with love. I want to pray with you, and then we'll move on to the rest of our service. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for the truth. I know that neither I nor everybody else is going to agree with everybody in this room, and we certainly aren't going to agree with people outside this room who want to bombard us with all kinds of theology and all kinds of philosophy and all kinds of stuff and tell us this is right and we are wrong because we're old-fashioned, because we're out of touch. But I pray that you will help us to realize that truth and love can stand together. They can coexist. Lord, help people to see a heart of love that beats within us. Help them not to see a heart of judgment, a heart of crassness, a hard heart, a heart that's ready to beat them to a pulp because they disagree with us, but instead help them to see a heart of love. But we stand on the truth. I thank you for your boundaries. Help us to realize that these boundaries that you have placed are for our good, and that we have to have some markers of what to believe and what not to believe. So, Father, I pray that you will help us as people to love, but also to stand on the truth and realize the truth, or that love can happen, but never compromising truth as a result of it. Thank you for these folks, Lord. And just work your word in our heart and help us to become people who show you in all we say and do. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're going to offer you communion this morning.